We're going to share a few minutes around the Lord's table in just a little while later on in this service. We have the children in here with us today, and it's a great learning time. And so families and children, I want to tell you I appreciate your presence here this morning as well. Before I launch into the sermon, however, I just want to share with you our long-range planning team will be meeting again tomorrow night. And I just want you to everybody to be on the same page about where we are in all of this, okay? You see our logo, and then right underneath it, you see our vision statement. Can we say that together to see God's name become great in all the nation? Our vision is to see God's name become great among all the nations. And we do that by our mission statement, what we believe, how we believe we're going to do it. We're going to do it by serving God, by engaging the community, and by growing in Christ. We've had one aspect of this take place last weekend. 30 of our church family traveled to West Virginia to the Bridge Church there in Matoka, West Virginia. Matoka is a little village that time has forgot. It is absolutely isolated. There's nothing going on, but it's a church, it's a family, it's a community that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been ministering there for about 6 or 7 years. 30 of them went last week. They're doing their part just by going and ministering there last week of making God's name great among all the nations in West Virginia as well. And then this coming Thursday, now here's something I didn't really realize. We're going to have our first appreciation dinner for all the greeters and the ushers this coming Thursday night. This, we're calling it our First Touch Ministries. And we're calling it First Touch because when you come to church, that ought to be the first touch that you get. Someone greeting you, someone shaking your hand. Perhaps you need some assistance. And that's what the greeters out front, the ushers in the vestibule, the greeters at the doors, we want to make sure you're greeted and you feel welcome here. That's important. You know how many we have, or at least coming to the dinner for this? 70. Isn't that something? 70 of you are helping to make God's name become great among all the nations. 70 of you are serving God. 70 of you are engaging the community when they come on our campus here. Some of you, 70 of you, are helping us to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we're doing. We want to see God's name become great among all the nations. Now, here's what we're discussing in long-range planning, okay? Now, for a few of you, you think you're scared to death. We're going to become like New Spring. Can I tell you something? We're not going to be New Spring. We're going to be Five Forks Baptist Church, all right? We are who we are. So get that out of your mind, okay? We are who we are. But this is what we're doing. We got three ministries that we're looking at doing in the coming year. Number one. Now, all of this, don't you want to be something bigger than yourself? Do you? Don't you want to be a part of something that's larger than you are? Let me tell you what it's about. Number one, we're going to challenge you to pray for the neighborhood that you live in. Bring that up. Bless every home. This is a ministry that we're going to encourage you to sign on to in the coming year, after the first of the year. You can go online, and every day this program, this ministry, will send you a name or two of your neighbors. Some of you don't know your neighbors, okay? I don't know all my neighbors, but I've been praying for them. They'll give me a prayer, and they'll tell me how to pray for my neighbors that particular day. Now, what's so big, what's greater than us about this? Hey, we're asking God to save our neighbors. We're asking God to bless our neighbors. We're asking God particular things every day for our neighbors. And I promise you, you do that, you commit to that, we're going to see God begin to work in the lives of those around us. The second thing that we want to do in the coming year is we want to to offer you helps and how to witness and how to share Christ, to share with somebody what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And then the third thing is another help that we want to do is we want to give you some support and helps in studying the Bible. How do I study the Bible? How can I get the most out of my time alone with God when I read God's Word? We want to give you those helps in the coming year. So this is what we're looking at. Now, building programs, all these kind of things, other ministries, they're going to come out of this, but this is what's greater than we are. We're engaging God. We're coming before God. We're asking God to do a work in our community. Why? Because of why we're gathered here today. Not only to worship, but you see this table? There's plates here. Boys and girls, there's plates here. The big ones have little pieces of bread. The small ones have little glasses of juice. And we're going to remember, Jesus said, you need to do this in remembrance of me, to remember what I've done for you. And this is, we're going to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his death on the cross and his resurrection from the grave that we might be saved. Now, on the day that Jesus was arrested, remember, he's deprived of water and sleep for 24 hours. He's beaten. He's tortured. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They scourge him with a whip. They crucify him and they murder him. When I was young, when I was a boy, I didn't get all that. I didn't understand all of that. And I especially didn't understand the benefits of what Jesus Christ was doing on the cross, of what he was doing. What he was doing was for me and for you. But the problem is, at that time, I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the benefits. I didn't understand what that was for me, much less the whole world. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, listen to this verse. The Bible tells us that we need to look to Jesus. Why? Because he's the founder and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus Christ endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now that he's risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He has been given the most exalted position in all the universe. He has been given a name that is above all names, a name so powerful that one day when he returns, every knee will bow at the sound of his name. When he returns one day, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Can you share that today? Can you say that today? Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Now, why in the world, as this verse says, for the joy set before him, what was so joyful? Why was Jesus glad for going through all that suffering, of being beaten and tortured, nailed to a cross, and eventually dying? Why did he find joy in all that? Number one, because he obeyed God's will. That's what his life was about, of knowing God's will and obeying it. Secondly, he did it because of all the benefits that it would bring to you and bring to me. We've all read articles or perhaps seen news reports about people here in the United States, some people who have inherited a massive fortune, but they continue to live in poverty because nobody ever decided to tell them what they had inherited. Can you imagine that? If all of a sudden you inherited millions of dollars, maybe $1 billion, and nobody ever told you about it. Nobody ever told you that you inherited it. You could have gone through life living at a level less than you were intended to live. Or let's say you had an incurable terminal disease. Somebody invents the cure for it, but they forget to tell you. And you would die an unnecessary death sooner than you normally would. If you don't know the benefits of why Jesus Christ died for you, of why we're coming around this table and we're going to remember his death, you're going to miss all the benefits that God intended for you in this life. When you take out an insurance policy, let's say I buy an insurance policy. Jane and I buy one together. The policy's on us, okay? Part of that policy contains the death benefits. And that death benefit says that when I or Jane and I die, that our kids and even our grandchildren will get a certain amount of money. That's called a death benefit. It's called a death benefit because people only get that after a death. What I want you and I today is very quickly, I want us to look at a couple or three of the benefits, the death benefits that Jesus Christ gave to you and I by his death on the cross. That he paid for these benefits with his life. The first one, of course, we have to go to. And the first one that we've heard ever since we were small, but we need to remember, okay? The first benefit that we have that Jesus Christ has given to us through his death and resurrection is total forgiveness of everything I've ever done wrong. Total forgiveness of all of my sins. When Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, he came to the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And John saw him and he said this, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, gives me total forgiveness for everything I've ever done wrong. Now, even if there was no such thing as heaven, and of course there is, but even if there weren't, it would all be worth it receiving this benefit just so you could go through life with a clear conscience and not carry the guilt and the shame and the regret and remorse all your life of the things that you've done wrong. One of the things that Jesus Christ came to do is to give total forgiveness of all the things that we've ever done wrong. Colossians 2, verses 12 through 4, or verse 14. Jesus, he canceled the record of the debt that stood against us with all of its legal demands, all of our sins. This he set aside. He nailed it. It's like he nailed it to the cross. Now, this illustration I want to share with you is a little dated. It comes from the 90s, but it's so relevant today. And it's about a fellow, maybe you've heard of him, by the name of Donald Trump. There was a fellow in New Jersey, right outside of New York. He was on the expressway. And he was driving his truck, and then he saw a limo parked on the side of the road. And the chauffeur was standing outside, and he knew that evidently they were in trouble. So this was a good guy. He pulled over, got out of his truck, walked back and said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yeah, my car is broke down. I need some help." And the fellow said, "Well, I'm a truck driver. How about popping your hood and let me see what it is?" And the chauffeur did, and the truck driver worked on it in a few minutes. And lo and behold, they were able to crank the limousine up. It was fixed. And the truck driver slammed the hood down on the car, and the chauffeur said, "Excuse me, sir, but a gentleman would like to speak to you." And he walked back to the back of the chauffeur, and the window rolled down, and lo and behold, it was Donald Trump. And so he thanked the man and expressed his gratitude for it, and the guy said, "It's okay. I'm just glad to help, Mr. Trump." So he got in his truck and went on his way. The next day, this truck driver got a call from his wife and said, "You've got to come home as soon as you can, right after work." And so he did, and he walked in, and there was like a vase of three or four dozen flowers, just absolutely beautiful. And the man said, "Well, honey, where'd you get these?" He said, "Well, they were delivered here today. Here's the note that came with it. Read it." And he opened it up, took the card out, and said, "Your mortgage has been paid. Thank you for your help, Donald Trump." The Lord Jesus Christ took our record of debt and forgave it all. Can you imagine something that someone has decided to show us grace and that our greatest debts and our every debt that we have would be paid? It would be canceled. If you really considered that and really believed that, you would celebrate, because that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He paid the debt that we couldn't pay. He paid for everything that we've ever done wrong. Every mistake, every sin, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's paid for every weakness, everything that we've done wrong, every word, every thought, every action, to give us total forgiveness of everything that we've ever done wrong. Ephesians 1:7 says this, "In Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption, we have salvation, we have forgiveness through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, our sins." Why? According to the riches of His grace. Let me give you another metaphor, and you've heard this. But what if you had committed a crime so heinous, so bad, that they put you in prison with absolutely no possibility of parole? You think, I'm never going to get out of here. I'm never going to see life outside of a prison cell. But what if the day before you were to go to prison for a life sentence, somebody walks up and says, "You know, I really love you, and I'm going to take your place, and I'm going to serve your sentence for you." That's basically what Jesus Christ did. He took our sentence. He took our punishment for all the things that we've done wrong. Now, He says He gives us freedom. He gives us forgiveness. And He sets us free because of God's rich grace. And what is grace? Grace just means, here, it's a gift. It's a gift I want to give to you. You'll never earn this. There's not enough work in the world for you to do to earn this. You'll never deserve this. No matter how good a life you live, you'll never deserve this. You can't bargain for it. You can't bribe God for it. You can't be good enough to get it. Because grace is when God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. Would you agree with that? Grace is what God gives us, what we need, not what we deserve. You know, Howard Foster, if I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be standing here. If you got what you deserved in life, you wouldn't be sitting where you are. Everything that God has done in our lives is because of His grace. Did you catch it? That breath you just took? God's grace gave you that breath. In Romans 4:25, we read, "Jesus Christ was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification, just as if we never sinned, to make us right with God." Notice He died on the cross not for His sin. You know why? It's because Jesus didn't have any sin. He never sinned. He's the only one who's lived a perfect life. He's the Son of God, the perfect Son of God. He has never sinned. He's not dying for His sins. He died for our sins. And the first benefit is when I accept what He has done on the cross. I get total forgiveness of everything I've ever done wrong. There's two others I wanted to mention. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to mention these benefits that we have through the death of Jesus Christ. First of all, I can have the healing power of Jesus Christ in my life. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He Himself, He bore our sins. He took our sins on His body on the tree, on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds we've been healed." There's healing. He wants to heal our hearts. He wants to heal our souls. There's other healings that He could give, mentally, emotionally, physically. Some will be here on earth. Others will be in heaven. Jesus went through all the cities and towns when He was here, the Bible says, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. There will be a day that He will heal everything that we have. But let me get real personal right now. Where do you need healing? Emotion, memories, finance, relationships, physical healing, spiritual healing, a healing of your relationship between you and God? He offers that healing. And then He also offers the last benefit I want to mention to you, is the freedom. The freedom to break free from all those forces that control us. Believe it or not, we're controlled by other things. We're controlled by our moods. You know, depending on your mood, that's going to control how you are. You can get in a bad mood from a bad burrito. You know that? We let our past control us. We let our fears control us. We let memories control us. We let culture control us. We'll let the weather control us. We'll let the devil control us. But that's a problem that Jesus came to deal with. And he gave us the benefit of forgiving of our sins and the power to break free from whatever's controlling us in life. Let me just say this. You know what my biggest problem is in my life? And I guarantee you in your life too, you know what your biggest problem is? My biggest problem is me. Your biggest problem is you. My biggest problem is not critics. My biggest problem is not anything else. It's me. But the good news is, Jesus said, through my death and my resurrection, you don't have to fight with yourself on your own. When I accept all the benefits that Jesus did for me. Why? Because the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, when I make peace with God, He comes to live in me, and He gives me the power to live life. Here's the key. If you don't understand the verse, you need to go and read it and study it and pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to give you understanding. Paul said this about himself. I have been crucified with Christ. I've been killed with Christ. But it's no longer I who is living, but it's Jesus Christ now who's living in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, the life I'm presently living, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and He gave Himself for me. So how do I get these benefits? How do I get these benefits in my life? How do I get total forgiveness? How do I get that deep healing? How do I get real freedom? How do I get these? I've got to be accepted into God's family. I got to be part of the family to get the benefits. That contract, that life insurance that I have with Jesus, so to speak, it gives me those benefits. And to get these benefits, I've got to be in God's family. They're not for everybody, but they're open to everybody. And you've got to be in God's family. How do I do this? Let me leave you with it. In John 1:12. But to everyone who has received Him, who has believed in His name, He has given them the right. Given them the benefit to become the children of God. That's how you get into God's family. Two things. Believe in Him. He's God's Son. He died for our sins. He arose from the grave. He's living now and forever. And pray and receive Him as your Lord and Savior. That's it. That's it. Believe and receive. That's how you get into God's family. We're going to gather around now. We're going to uncover these plates. We're going to see the crackers, the bread. We're going to see the little cups with grape juice. And we're going to remember this, that Jesus Christ died. Children, we're going to remember when Jesus, He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body." It's a symbol of my body, which is broken for you. Children, then He took a cup and He said, "This is a symbol of the blood that I'm going to shed for your sins." Let's pray together. Father, now as we come together in You, I want to thank You for this day and this time, and that we've made, Lord, an opportunity for the children to be here, to be with us, to be with families, and to be with the family of God here at Five Forks. To gather around Your table and to remember. We thank You, Jesus, that for the joy set before You of obeying Your Father's will, that was prime in Your life. That was number one. And you accomplished it perfectly. It was the Father's purpose that You die for the sins of the world. And You did. And to prove it, You came back alive from the grave. And now for everyone who believes and receives, we're part of the family, the eternal family. Heaven will be our home one day. We have forgiveness of sins. We have total freedom. We have power for life. But we want to remember right now, and we want to teach the next generation and the next. So bless this time as we come together, as we share, and as we remember. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to share these elements in just a moment. Let me make mention of this. This is not a Baptist table, okay? You may be visiting. If you are a Christian and you're in God's family and you have believed and received Jesus Christ, you're welcome at this table. I want you to know that. Deacons, if you'll come and join me here at the front, please. It was the night that Jesus was going to be arrested. And then he was going to be tried. And then he was going to be crucified. He was going to be killed. He was going to be murdered. It was the last night before all this happened. And Jesus was gathered with his disciples, with his best friends. And here he was sharing with them about what was to happen next. And the best way he could do that was to give an illustration. And so he took some bread that was on the table, a loaf of bread, and he took it and he blessed it. He always asked God to bless his food, and that's something we should do too. And he broke the bread and he said, "This bread is a symbol of my body. And since this is a symbol, my body is going to be broken." And then he gave a piece of the bread to all of his disciples. Gentlemen, Jesus Christ wanted to give an illustration to his disciples. And even for you and I today, as we gather here with these little pieces of cracker or bread product, the Lord Jesus, the night that he was going to be betrayed, and he was arrested, and he was tried, and then he was crucified and he died. He was with those that he loved the most, his good friends, his disciples, and he took a loaf of bread and he broke it. And he said, "That's the way my body's going to be. They're just going to break my body. This is done for you. And I want all of you to be a part of it. Take and eat," he said.
Heavenly Father, we come to this table in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In remembrance of what he paid for us. In remembrance of him offering his body up to be broken to cover the sins of the whole world. Father, never let us take this table for granted. Let us always remember the price that was paid, the price that we could not pay. And we just thank you so much, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus took a cup, and it had wine in it. And he said, he blessed it. Again, telling us we need to bless everything we eat or drink, thanking God for it. But he said, this cup, this wine, is another symbol. It's a symbol of the blood that I'm going to shed when I'm on the cross. And he said, this blood, this is the forgiveness of our sins. Of my death will be for you the forgiveness of your sins. And then Jesus passed a cup around for all the disciples to take part. Gentlemen, we're given one command for today. Remember. Remember. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which will be shed for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. This time to celebrate you, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus that washes away the sins of the world. And Heavenly Father, we glorify your name. And we thank you. Thank you for the blood. Amen. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's all that matters is His glory, right? We're going to stand and sing in just a moment because the disciples and Jesus sang before they left the room and went out to the garden where He was arrested. We're going to sing an old classic called There's Room at the Cross for You. And that just tells me there's plenty of room in God's family for anyone who wants to join His family today by believing or receiving, to come and to have your sins forgiven, to come and to have real freedom, to come and have His power in your life, just to come. If God is leading you to come and to join this church, or you want to come and pray, there's some area of your life that you need power in. You need God's power. You need a victory. You come and I'll pray with you. We're going to stand together. Gentlemen, when we stand, you're welcome to go back and sit with your families. But we're going to stand together and we're going to sing.